your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. So the title is A Different Way of Life. And you know now that Noah's gotten off the ark, he's built an altar and he's worshiped God, and now God's going to tell Noah some things. And it's going to become a different way of life. And I'm going to just be totally honest with you this morning. This is going to be probably the least unexpected sermon you're going to hear coming out of Genesis. You're going to be like, what? This? And you'll see why in just a moment. All right? So let's get into the word of the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 1 through 17. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each man, too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. From the image of God has God made man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you today for your word. Lord, that we get to read that today and how it speaks to us in so many ways in our lives. Lord, may you bring that word to life today, and I pray for those that gather here, may you fill this place with your spirit today. Lord, for those that will hear this word, Lord, may you take it, may you just implant that into their hearts, their minds, and souls. Lord, may they leave here knowing something new or different in their faith walk. Lord, may these words be yours, never mine. I pray you fill me with that same Holy Spirit. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. Colin, can you pull the first slide up for me today? How many of you realize it's grilling season? How many of you grilled already here in the last... Yeah, how many of you grill year-round? Yeah, most of you do now. We got these pretty fancy pellet smokers and these pit bosses and these black stones, and we can do all kinds of things now to prepare meat. Some of us smoke meat, and we do all kinds of things. So how many of you enjoy a good smoked brisket or a pork loin? I see hands going up out there, yeah. Pork shoulder, pulled pork, smoked ribs are a good steak, right? My favorite piece, cut of meat is a ribeye. You can't beat that. I just enjoy a good grilled ribeye. It's good. So, and here's what I wanted to, this is the point I want to make with you this morning. What I just mentioned to you is some of the best eating that I think you can have. I truly enjoy that, a good piece of meat. And it might even be so good that you might even think that, could it be sinful, right? Because it's so good. But it's not. I can tell you that. Because guess what? Genesis 9 verse 3 says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. Now, I have a great respect for if you're a vegetarian or you're vegan. But that's what this Bible verse says. I think it's one of the best Bible verses in the Bible, right? You can eat meat. And we get to enjoy that for food. Yes, that's a big change. And here's what I want to bring out to you this morning. That's just one of the many changes when Noah leaves the ark. God sets up some new rules for him. And we get to enjoy part of those rules yet today. But it's a different way of life for Noah now. And we're going to look at those different rules that the Lord puts out for Noah and his family. This is how he wants them to live now. And there's some differences between him and Adam that we're going to talk about and we're going to dig into. But it is a different way of life. Next slide there, Colin. Noah's given a different dominion from what Adam was given. And so let me explain this to you this morning. And if you're with your Bible, you can follow along. Genesis 9, verse 2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth. Notice how that language changes from what Adam was given. God gives Noah and man dominion over the animals. We get that. We understand that. And it might seem it's the same mandate as what Adam gets in Genesis 1, verse 26. Now, let me read it to you, and then I'll explain it to you. And this is what he said to Adam. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. In Adam's day, there was perfect harmony between man and animals. There was no death before sin entered the world. They were vegetarian. They didn't eat meat. No animals would have died before sin. That's how God originally created it, that Adam would live in harmony with everything around him. That's the mandate that God gave to Adam and Eve. And now we see a different mandate when Noah comes off the ark. God gives man the right to eat animals as food. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I've given you all things, even as the green herbs. But there's one rule that you must take note here in verse 4 this morning. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood in it. So there's two rules that God gives to Noah and his boys. And here's the first one, and you'll agree with it, and yep, it makes sense to me. Before you eat something, you need to kill it. You need to drain its blood. Right? That's pretty simple to understand. We don't eat a lot of live things. Now, I know there's some things that you can eat that are alive, but I don't care to eat those types of things. But anyway, that's one of the rules that God sets forth here, that you are to kill it. Now, there are some reasons for that, because you got to remember when Noah was preparing this ark and things are going on, things are not so good. Life is kind of rough. There's a lot of sin and crazy things are going on. And we can suspect that there's even some animal cruelty that's happening here before Noah gets his mandate. And God says, you need to kill that ox before you just cut a hunk out of it. That, you know, I want you to take care of things properly. But here's the second reason that I think is more important for you and I to understand and know this morning. This meeting, I think, gives great depth to what he's trying to teach us. Life is associated with the blood. You've heard me say that before in the past, of the importance of blood. The blood represents the life given by God. Now, I want you to hold on to that thought of that the blood belongs to God. He gives life to everything that we have in the world today. Man can eat the body of the animal, but not the blood, which represents life, because the blood belongs to God. And if you look at the Bible, there are numerous references to blood in the Bible. Now, we just came through the Easter season. How important is the blood of Christ? It's everything, isn't it? For you and I. And that's what God is trying to teach Noah and his sons, that you need to understand that I give life. And I take it. And it's in the blood. So one of the rules was that they were never to eat anything living with its lifeblood in it, because God was in that blood. not physically. Don't go home and say, well, God, Rob said that God's in the blood. No, that's not the point. But it's the symbol that God puts forth, that he is the giver of life. So that's our first difference. Here's the next difference. You can go to the next slide. Thanks, Colin. Another difference from Adam to Noah is that God gives, and this is, remember I said, this is going to get a little controversial here this morning. God gives the death penalty right here. How many of you are expecting to hear about that when you come to church this morning? Right? But let me explain it to you, and we'll sort through this together. Sometimes these are hard things, and by all means, I preach this with grace and love. But here's what it says in verse 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. The penalty for murder is given here. If a person takes another person's life, death for death should happen. And this is where we get the foundation of our civil governments, that there shall be law and order in our world. This is what God put forth with Noah and his sons. Now, I can only imagine that before the flood came, things were ugly, right? We talked, their evil was abound, and things were wicked and bad, and there's probably murder and killing going on. And so God gives Noah this new rule that I want that to stop. I don't want men killing men. I give the life. That's not how I want you to live. And so God puts verse 6 in here. The death penalty comes to light. And the foundation of civil governments, of how we should have law and order in our world. And so Noah gets this different command. And if you're in verse 5, there's a word that I want you to look at this morning. It's the word require. All right? And there's a deeper meaning here I want to share with you. On the end of verse 5, it says, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. And of course, it's talking about death. And the word require, if you look in the Hebrew, you look at the definition of that, it's a judicial term, meaning that God is the judge. He's got the final say in everything that goes on in our lives. God is the judge. But here's what I want that's quite interesting in here. As I did my research this past week and I did some reading, these judicial statements are for humans upon this earth, for all of us. And here's what I found so fascinating is that they've never been revoked in Scripture. You can't find where this verse is talked about and lifted, that it's okay to do that. I thought that to be quite interesting. Now, I will tell you in just a moment about God's grace and God's forgiveness, and we're going to look at some things that I get like, what? What are you talking about? Those gray areas in Scripture and stuff here this morning. But I can only imagine that this morning you're hearing this, and you're probably coming with differing opinions about this verse about the death penalty. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, right? If a man kills another man, his life shall be taken, is what Scripture says. Now, there are some biblical rules for this, a command. Deuteronomy 17, verse 6, here's kind of gives us an understanding that this, you just don't go about willy-nilly blaming people for things that go on. But here's what it says. Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Meaning that you better be sure that this occurred. People better see that this happened. If there's any doubt, be careful. Maybe don't go there. And then I can also find it in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established, says the Lord. The Bible explains how we're to establish guilt. And so there must be a thorough investigation and witnesses before a judgment can be handed down. And there's another interesting verse I want to share with you this morning that kind of ties into this. And I've shared this before out of Exodus 21, verse 28. It's on the bottom half of the screen this morning. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted, shall not be guilty. Now, how many of you have known that in today's society, if a dog is vicious and it attacks somebody, they definitely come and they confiscate that dog and they test it for rabies and make sure everything's okay and stuff like that. Sometimes you might even hear that they might even put the animal down, right? We still practice that yet today in the world that we live in. When those types of things occur, those still happen. But God says, make sure that we follow those orders and that those are the things that we do in our life. But here's what I want you to think. Next slide, Colin. Why does all this matter? That's my question of all these things I'm explaining to you here. Why do these things, why are we talking about them in church this morning? Why is what I want you to think about and wonder about these things. Why did God give these requirements to Noah? And here is why. For God made man in his own image. Now, how many remember back to during the creation story, day 5 and 6, when God created Adam and Eve? I said they are the what of creation? The pinnacle. The prize. That's who you are. And God says, that's how I want you to be treated. I want you to respect each other. I want you to care for each other. I want you to value life. Because you are the pinnacle of creation. You are the prize. That's how God sees you. That's how God created you. And he doesn't want nothing to mess with that. And he sets forth these rules of how we should treat one another, how we should act towards one another in life. And God created this order. Now I'm going to open up a whole entire can of worms. All right? I'm going to challenge you a little bit. Knowing that people are created in the image of God and learning that taking of a human life is forbidden. Colin, the next slide. Think about then how we should deal with abortion and euthanasia. If God is in the blood, in both instances, which both go on in our world today, if you don't know what euthanasia is, it's the ending of your life by your choice, usually by some kind of a shot or maybe a doctor administering something, whatever. Some people have chosen that. And according to the Bible, that is not our decision. That is God's decision to make that when our life ends. But our life belongs to God. And therefore, we leave it to him when we die. How many of you here last week Sunday when we recited the Heidelberg Catechism, question answer number 1? What class did that? Anita, was that your class? Yes. All right, so it's on the screen here this morning, and I brought that up to you. Let me read that to you so you get it. What is my only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. You don't own your life. You're given the gift of life, but God's the giver. God's also the taker of life. And that should never should we go beyond those things, such as abortion or euthanasia, right? Because when you take a life, what are you taking? The blood. Who does the blood belong to, people? To the Lord. Do you see where I'm coming from today? And maybe you've never thought about those things in that light. But these are the rules that God has given us, and he does them because he values life, because you are the pinnacle in life. Life is to be valued. Life is to be protected. All right, I got another can I'm going to open up for you. Next slide, Colin. What about a soldier's killing people during a time of war? What does that look like? How does that look like biblically? What do we do with that in our world today? In the Old Testament, we read about many wars. all kinds of bloodshed. Even where God instructed his Israelites to go to war, take out that nation, they're evil, take their lives, is what he says. What do we do with that today? And here's some of my answer to that. And by all means, there is room for thought in this. We live in a sinful world, and there will be forces of evil that will need to be stopped. And sometimes nations will go to war. And that's part of the world we live in today. Now, I know that being here for a few years now as a pastor in this church, I've got to visit with quite a few veterans that have served in wars. Vietnam, the Korean conflict, World War II. And some of those vets that I speak to are no longer with us, but they were called to take the lives of others in wartime. Those were truly hard, hard, difficult conversations. But you know what the greatest part of those conversations were? Is seeing men that were called and put into places that they didn't care to be in, but seeing God's grace and forgiveness flow over them in a way that was unremarkable, and asking God for that grace in their lives. Some of you still sitting here today, been in that situation, you've been there and you've done that. And here's my thought on that. I think that when we are called to take care of evil in our world, young men and women will be called into those situations to remove that evil. That at that point, I don't know if I'd consider that murder or sin. And you might disagree with me today, and that's okay. But I do believe that we worship a forgiving, grace-filled Lord in those situations. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8, I got it on the screen in the green box. And it talks, you know, that whole verse, if you don't know that verse, go home and read it. But it talks about there's a time for everything in life that will happen and will occur. And here's what it says in verse 8. There will be a time of war, and there will be a time of peace. And what that means is expect both, people, as you live life and the things that you'll go through. I'm thankful for the veterans that served us and went to war for us and protected us. You know, one of the most evil things we can think of is, you remember when Adolf Hitler rose to power. What kind of an evil person was he? He had to be stopped. And men went to war, women went to war to stop that type of evilness in the world. And I think that when we look at the Old Testament and we see God say to his Israelites, you need to take out that evil nation before they take you out. And sometimes there's exceptions for that. Not an easy thing, but a very difficult thing to do. And it's because of the broken world we live in today that those things go on. Let me end on a high note. The next slide. How many of you seen a rainbow this past spring? There's been a few of them around. Yeah, the promises of God. Verse 12 and 13. God said, I set my rainbow in the cloud. He makes us a promise, a covenant. You know, a covenant is a promise or a binding relationship. And God says that I decree this on you. It means that it will never change. It will never go away until Jesus returns. And that covenant and that promise is that I will never take life by a flood ever again. Now, we might have local floods, and people might die, and animals might die, but never again will there be a worldwide flood that will wipe out all of man. That's his promise to you and I. Noah and his family had a very different way of life when they left the ark. God changed some things to make for a better world. And I want to leave you with this last sentence this morning. God continues to work in our world today. If you look, you see it all over the place. How many of you have seen the report from Melissa Mosier this past Friday? I mean, you're witnessing miracles. How many of you have seen the report on Mike Coyma, who's here today? You're witnessing miracles. God is at work today. They're both, according to the medical field, not even supposed to be with us today. They should have been with the Lord already a year ago. That's the kind of God we serve. So may you leave here today knowing that God is still at work in the world that we live in today. He's still in control. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sign of the rainbow. Lord, the love that you have for us, that never again will you take care of evil and sin this way. We know that one day there will be a reckoning when Jesus returns. Lord, and we don't know when that day will come, but you do, and we just trust in your plan. Lord, but we thank you for the things that come out of Genesis chapter 9. Lord, they're not easy things. They're hard things. They're those gray areas that we don't fully understand and we don't have that clear answer to, but we know we serve the one that does have the answers. Lord, and you call us to follow you with all our hearts, minds, and souls. May your Spirit continue to lead us. Lord, may you place those convictions on us of how we should live life. Lord, may you implant in us the ability to protect life and to remember that the blood is yours and that you give life. May we be shaped today by your teaching. May you mold us into the people you want us to be as followers of Jesus Christ. And by all means, Lord, may we be the light in so many dark places today. May we go with your love as we've been loved. In Jesus we pray. Amen.